Man, check. All right, good. We're good. All right, I just got to do this because praise is an exclamation. So let's just, can you just do this with me? Can we just give the Lord an exclamation of praise? Yeah. Woo! There's power in the praise. I love that song. It was so good. Man, there's so much power in the praise. And we're going to be talking about that. I have the honor of speaking today, which it is an honor. It really is. If you don't know me, my name is Paul Diani. I'm Dave Diani's youngest son. So it is a real honor. I mean that. To be able to have your attention, to be a vessel for the Lord today. It's fun even because all week I get to think about the sermon. It's kind of like I get to indulge in it a lot, and it's really edifying to be able to get to share. So I'm excited, and I also get to start a new sermon series today that we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks. And there's so much good stuff. So please, try not to miss it for the next couple weeks. All these things are going to come together. So many amazing stories. We have some other guest speakers, so it's going to be really good. So we're calling this sermon series Stranger Things. And if you're not familiar, this is a current television show on Netflix right now. It's kind of popular. I'm not promoting this TV show because, you know, I don't know. It's all right. It's pretty good. But I watched a lot of it, probably. Still not sure if I'm a fan, but, you know, it's, I think the only parallel that we're going to draw out of this is that this is like a sci-fi and suspense story, and it kind of centers around some paranormal activity. What I find strange and what I think something we're going to draw from this is that it's pretty obvious that our culture or our world finds paranormal stories or situations or TV shows fascinating. You know, we like those stories or the suspense of it, the unknown. It's kind of captivating. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at, you know, just stories in the Bible that maybe you've read them, maybe you haven't, but sometimes you read over them and you kind of read past them and you're like, oh, that's an interesting Bible story. And maybe I can learn something from that. But I really want us to catch today with this story just the paranormal activity that's going on here, the craziness of it. I mean, if they made a TV show after this, like, it would be far more captivating than any TV show we've seen so far. So we're going to be reading about two friends. And I kind of, as a lead-in, I wanted to, you know, everybody has those friends. Maybe you had one when you were growing up where it was that friend that you kind of always got in trouble with, or the friend that you always, either they convinced you or you convinced them to do the really dumb stuff, or you convinced each other to do something dumb, and you always got in trouble, and your parents are like, I mean, it's my parents are like, who are you hanging out with? And I'm like, oh, you know, no, you're not. Oh, well. But, you know, they always have that friend, and there's this really good quote that I like. It says, a good friend will come and bail you out of jail, but a best friend is sitting right next to you saying, man, that was really fun. I have a couple of those friends. It's good to have those kind of friends. But you know what that really is saying is that, you know, a best friend is right there with you all the time, through the good, through the bad, not afraid to get in trouble with you. And there's something special about having a friend like that. You know, someone that you just know is always going to be there with you. And so the next slide here, kind of a parallel here, is that there's, you know, a lot of Christianity looks strange. When you're walking out your faith, there's so many scriptures where Jesus tells us that we're going to be walking contrary to what the world is doing. And when you're acting out your faith and being obedient to God, it's going to look opposite. It's going to look strange. You're going to be asked by the Lord to do things that you think, man, that people are going to think I'm really weird, and I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if I could do that, or should I do that? But, you know, the thing is, when you have friends that are walking this out with you, for some reason, it's so much easier. You know, I have some friends that, man, like, we would go do some crazy stuff, and I would never do that stuff by myself for the Jesus. You know, we would go do street ministry, and I mean, it's just, it's weird. It's strange. It's not normal, the things that we would be doing. And people notice that as they're walking down the street, like, what is going on over there? You know, or they just, and they're drawn to it. Kind of, you know, this contrary, but they do think you're strange. But it was so comforting to have a friend with me. I got stories, but like, you know, we would do, like I said, we'd do street ministry. We'd go down the high street and have a couple friends with me. And, you know, we don't really have an agenda except to just share the love of God with people. And we're just standing there and talk to people. It's kind of hard because people are kind of running by you, but you try to grab them, you try to preach to them, and things happen. And I remember, you know, we were at this corner, and there was these guys, and they had their music bumping, and it was, they were just kind of thugs, you know, and I was a little intimidated by them. I was like, oh, I'm going to preach over here. You know, But like, my heart was like, man, like, I should be reaching out to them. Before I knew it, I heard one of the guys we were with, he's like, you know, Jesus loves you. And I turn around, he's standing up on a chair, like, yelling over top of them, and they're like, I'm like, he's going to die. I mean, he's going to die. So I'm like, dude, no, what are you doing? Like, are you? His name was Daniel. I'm like, Daniel. And then all of a sudden, these kids, they start responding to him. And I didn't even realize it, but from a distance, they look like these old, kind of tough dudes. But when I got closer, they were just young teenagers. You know, they were just young teenagers blasting their music, and all of a sudden, they start responding to us. And God did crazy stuff. He did crazy stuff, but like, it was so encouraging to have friends with me. And we did stuff together. And so, yeah, so Christianity looks strange. And so we're going to be taking a look at two friends in the Bible in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. So if you want to turn there, that's what we're going to be reading out of today. Two friends, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. You know, Paul and Silas didn't have much of a history together. They prior to meeting each other, Paul was doing ministry, and he went back to the apostles, and he's telling the apostles about all the good stuff that's going on, and they said, you know what, we got to get some of our best men to send with you. So they just pair Paul up with Silas, Barnabas, and another guy, and they pair him up, say, you guys go out together. And almost instantaneously, you can tell that there was this bond that took place between Paul and Silas, because they were on mission together. They had the same common goals, and it bound them together as friends. There's another quote I kind of think is good. It's like, along with that friendship thing, it's like, if you're walking in the rain by yourself, it's kind of miserable. But if you're walking in the rain with a friend, it's an adventure. You know, all of a sudden, it turns into something special. You're like, man, we're suffering, bro. It's freezing cold, and oh, man, but I got you. You know, and this turns into a good story. And so Paul and Silas, they were on mission together. They were bound together through the good and the bad. But they were pure missionaries. You know, they were just saying, God, where do you want us to go? I want to preach the gospel to the entire world. Where do you want us to go? And so Paul had this vision of a Macedonian man, and he said, all right, like, the man was asking for help. And so Paul said, all right, that's where we're going. We're going to Macedonia. And he's like trying to get there. And they end up in Philippi, I believe, is the city. And so they're preaching in Philippi. And so as soon as they get there, they go to the place of prayer, which I think is pretty strategic, you know. They go to the place that was a spiritual place where people went to pray, and they met this lady, Lydia, and she's open to the Lord, and they start preaching to her. She gets saved, baptized right there. She has them over to their house. Her whole house gets saved. In a way, there's good stuff's going on in Philippi, like great stuff. The gospel ministry is spreading. And then the next couple days, they meet another character, and we're looking at Acts 16, verses 16 through 24. And so they meet another character. Whereas, you know, Lydia was this wealthy woman of independence. You kind of get this impression that she had her, money, she had her own house. They meet another character here, and it's a slave girl. So let's turn to there. I'm going to read this. Acts 16, verse. So in verse 16, they met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, which is, I looked that up, I didn't know what that meant, but it means to seek prophecy through, like, spiritual, kind of like witchcraft type stuff. So she's got this spirit of divination, and there were owners who owned this girl who made money by her fortune telling. And she was following Paul and Silas, and for some reason, she was yelling out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." So she's just yelling that out. And she kept doing it for many days. So you'd think that would be a good thing. You know, she's kind of like free advertising, like, "These guys are proclaiming the way. Get saved." And then it says that Paul got annoyed with her, which I can imagine. And he turned to her and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her." And it came out of her in that very hour. Which is interesting here, just a quick thought, is like, maybe even the truth proclaimed in a corrupt way can be a bad thing. Because she was just yelling it out, even though it was the truth, it was wrong for some reason, you know, and Paul cast it out of her. And then when her owners, the slave girl's owners, saw that their hope of gain was gone, because they just cast out this divination spirit, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them through the marketplace, and when they had brought them to the magistrates or the rulers, they said, "These men are Jews, and they're disturbing our city. And it's not lawful practice for the Romans." So the crowd joined in and attacking them. The magistrates tore their garments off, beat them with rods, and they inflicted many blows upon them, threw them into prison, and ordered the jailer to keep them safely. And receiving this order, so the jailer's like, "Oh, I'll keep them safe." He puts them into the inner prison, fastens their feet in the stocks. So here we go. We got Paul and Silas. They go into the city of Philippi, saving a lady, saving a whole house, baptizing people in the name of Jesus, casting out a demon out of a slave girl. And then in the next moment, they're strapped into stocks in a prison, beaten with their clothes torn off. What a change. What a change in events. Man. And I can, you know, I kept putting myself there. It's just like, I almost imagine those stocks you put your head in and your arms and you're just sitting there beaten. And I just imagine Silas and Paul kind of like looking at each other. Just like, what? You know, confusing. They're missionaries. They're proclaiming the good news, and here they are. In verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I mean, that's a great response to this situation, right? I mean, they're sitting there, and they're just like, "Oh, we got nothing else. What could we possibly do?" So they start praying and singing hymns to God at midnight. I mean, I'm going to state the obvious and say that probably wasn't the easiest prayer and praise to get started. I don't know which one of them started it, but they're sitting there thinking, and maybe Silas is like, "Oh, amazing grace, how sweet." Paul's like, "Shut up." And the other prisoners, you know, they're listening to them, but I'm telling you, I was picturing this. I'm pretty sure that they were shouting. They weren't whispering timidly. They were shouting praise and prayer. And I think that it says they were praying and praising. I think that their prayer was intermittent with their praise. And I think the difference there is to say that in their day, they probably, there was the book of Psalms, and the Jews, they were Jews. They probably had 150 Psalms memorized. You know, and so they have these praises memorized, and they're probably singing their psalms because they had them memorized. But I also think that their prayer was in there, passionate praise, you know, prayer. Not just singing the words of the hymn, but actually praying out to God through their praise. So it's like, you know, like songs of prayer. So let's read on. So it says here, 25. The other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. So let's, like, whoa, right? Whoa. Okay, so this is why I think that their prayer wasn't timid. Because I can imagine now, like, you know, they're singing, it's midnight, and they're praying, and all of a sudden, like, they're just singing so loud, oh, Jesus, love you, and then the earth starts shaking. And the prisoners, or other prisoners in the shell, you know, the jail are like, what is happening? But this is a strange earthquake, right? It wasn't, I mean, maybe this part of the world had earthquakes, but this wasn't a normal earthquake. Normal earthquakes break stuff and collapse stuff, destructive. This earthquake was like a freeing earthquake. It like broke their chains and doors flew open. Like, that's not a normal earthquake. I mean, this was crazy. This was weird. This was paranormal. You know, if you didn't know Jesus and you were listening to that, you're thinking, whoa, there's like a ghost in here or something. You know, this is weird. So the first point I want to make is that the jail was shaken. The jail was shaken. Your prayer is a powerful spiritual weapon. It is so powerful that we underestimate it. And sometimes it's easy to go to church, you know, and it can be hard. It's easy to go to church, but it's hard to get our praise started at church, you know, and we're kind of like, all right, here we go. I'm going to get into this, and when the worship's good and everything feels right, I had a good morning, I'm going to try to get into this praise. We know it's hard. I admit that. It is hard for me. But I think that we need to think about this a little differently, that maybe coming to church is a time for us to practice getting into the habit of praise. This is a place for us to come together and practice, to get better at praising God. Because I don't think that this was the first time that Paul and Silas started praising. Like, they weren't thinking, oh man, we better learn how to praise now that we're in prison. No, like, they had been praising. They had a habit of praise. It came out of them naturally. It's easy to sing when the sun is shining, but you need a song in your heart for when it's the nighttime. So there's a quote here that there's a story of army men who were taught to disassemble their weapon blindfolded so that if they needed to put it back together in the dark, they could do that. And I think that we need to start thinking in the same way with praise. What about the story of Daniel? Think about the story of Daniel. It was said that he prayed 3 times a day. And when the king decreed no more prayer, the ruling was that he would be thrown into the den of lions. I don't think that being thrown into the den of lions, that would not have been an appropriate time to try to figure out how to pray. Because at that point, it's probably too late. But Daniel had a habit of prayer. So when he was praying, it came out of his heart. And guess what? He didn't get eaten by the lion. I want to talk about, there's a story in the Old Testament, a king named Jehoshaphat. He was told that there was an army coming against him, a huge army that was going to wipe them out. And he was terrified. He sought the Lord, and he made his whole nation fast and pray. I think that's a pretty good king. But he made his whole nation fast and pray. He was scared. But the Lord said to them through a prophet, he said, like, the Lord's going to deliver us. So what the king did was he got his best holy garments and he put it on his best men to sing praises in front of the army as they went into battle. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd probably not want to sign up for that position because you're... The only weapon you have probably is your tambourine and your trumpet. But no, actually, I think, in fact, potentially, this was the highest honor. Every man wanted to put on those garments and walk in the front of the army. And they sang. It's such a simple song. I love this. There's nothing. Just give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. That's what they sang. And guess what happened when they showed up to the battlefield? the entire army was dead. What? Like, what? That's unexplainable. That's amazing. God showed up. Praise. That. I love that the king put them in the front because he understood something. He understood something. That praise is the most powerful weapon that we have. And the jail was shaken at this. This praise was powerful. And I wanted to say this, that earlier this week, I was thinking about this, and I was driving home, and I was kind of like, my mind was a million places. And I was like, I just want to worship. So I just turned on one of my favorite CDs in my car. Oh my gosh, I got so fired up. I mean, I was just yelling in my car. I didn't care who saw me around my car. I actually thought I saw my brother-in-law in front of me. I was like, oh my gosh, she probably thinks I'm so weird. But I didn't care. I didn't care. I was so fired up at this music. And here's the point I want to make here. When's the last time that you got excited about something? When's the last time you were like, yes, I love life? When's the last time you did that? I love you, Lord. You cried out with all your heart. Maybe your sports team won, and you're like, oh, like, go Broncos or something, you know, whatever. That's, you know, like, that's kind of, I don't really get into sports that much, so I'm not really, I like watching sports, but I'm never, like, on the edge of my seat yelling, screaming. Honestly, if I think back in my life, there's not very many things that I get that excited about. And I think it'd be pretty easy to fall into a habit of just kind of like, yeah, like, life's pretty good. I'm excited, you know, everything's, I love Jesus. I like church, you know, like, work's good. I would go to Cedar Point, ride some roller coasters and scream a little bit. Exciting, I'm so excited about life. Man, I just, not, I, oh, oh, that hurts. You know, that's why we turn to things that get us excited. Maybe we like watching the scary movies or whatever, or maybe you're an adrenaline seeker. It's like, oh, I gotta get excited. I want to get excited, but that bar keeps getting higher. But you're like, that's your outlet. You know, you're like, I gotta do something crazy. I gotta find that. But I'm telling you right now, I was getting excited when I started praising. I was like, woo! In my car. I didn't care. It was exciting. I was so fired up at the sound of praise in my heart. You know, it's not about like singing a song on key. I was just yelling. There was no like melody singing. I was just yelling. I was just excited. We can get fired up with adrenaline every day when we sing praises. This is the highest adrenaline ever. And these men, chained and beaten, started singing so passionately that the ground shook. I've never praised that hard. You know, I've praised pretty hard, but they started praising so hard the ground shook and the chains broke and the doors flung open. Man, I'm excited because every time I feel a little bit down or if I feel oppressed or my mind's jumbled, I'm just going to turn on my favorite worship music. You know, there's nothing like starting the day with some praise. Man, and we were all meant to praise. There isn't a single person in here. If you think that, oh, well, singing is not for me, tell me it's not about singing. You were made to praise. And the reason I know that is because there's a psalm that says that every tree will sing his praises. If a tree can sing, then you can sing. The whole earth will sing. And you're a part of that. We were meant to praise. And if we fall in line with that, like, start your day with a little praise. Just, who drives to work? Who drives to work? Serious. I just want to see. 90% of us? 100% of us? Hey, you don't. You walk here. You drive here sometimes. If you drive to work in the morning, start your day with a little praise. It will be the better day. I promise it'll be a better day. I can guarantee that because of the scripture. It'll be a better day. You will have more victories that day. The jail was shaken by this praise. second part of this is that you see that the jailer was shaken. So if you look back at this scripture here, in verse 27, the jailer woke up, saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." What does he mean, they're there? And the jailer called for lights and rushed in and trembled with fear and fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." First of all, I'm just baffled by the fact that they didn't even leave. Paul and Silas, maybe our first thought was maybe they were like praying, "God, break us free, break us free. I want to get out of this jail." I don't even think that's what they were praying about. Because if it was, why did they stay in the jail? Why? They had a higher praise. They were praying about something even greater than their temporary problem. They weren't even concerned about the fact that they were in jail. I feel like they didn't even care. They were just praising God. And he broke them out. They were sharing the gospel with the other prisoners. I think that he was sharing the gospel with the other prisoners because it says, "We are all here." The other prisoners didn't even leave either. They didn't even leave the jail because they were so shocked by what happened from these two men. They were like, "Whoa, like, dudes, what happened? How did you do that? What do you do? Who are you?" And they started sharing the gospel with the other prisoners, and the prisoners didn't even leave the jail. So when the Roman soldier was about to kill himself because he failed to do his duty, that was the punishment, he said, "Don't kill yourself. We haven't even left." He's like, "Oh my gosh." I mean, the jailer was terrified, it said. It says, the jailer woke and saw the prison doors open. He took his sword to kill himself. Paul cried out, "Don't harm yourself." The jailer called for the lights, trembling with fear, fell down before Paul and Silas. I'd be pretty scared too if I was this jailer. Who are these guys? It's like this show. It centers around this little girl. She's got like paranormal activity, stuff going on. She can move stuff with her mind and stuff. Like, that's scary stuff. This dude is probably sitting there like, "Oh my gosh, who are these guys? Who are these guys that they just broke the chains and the doors open by singing? That's crazy." And you're rushing, like, almost thinking, like, "Don't kill me." But he fell down and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And such a simple answer from Paul. He says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So what was the jailer's response? He took them in that same hour of night. The jailer washed their wounds. He went from beating them and putting them in stocks to washing their wounds and inviting them, or washed their wounds. He was baptized at once, he and all of his family. He set food before them, and they rejoiced, his entire house, that had all believed in God. So a couple points here. Man, the message that Peter preached to the jailer was, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." If you flip back Acts chapter 2, Paul was preaching, and there was the same response from the crowd. They said, what must we do to be saved?" And his response to them was just as simple, but there's a little bit here. He says in Acts chapter 2, 36, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And I think that when he was saying that to the jailer, he was saying the same thing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your whole household. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, everyone. And the jailer's just thinking, whoa, like this is... First of all, for me, he probably felt like a bad person. He says, "For you and your children and everyone." And guess what happened? The jailer gets saved. He gets baptized. His whole house gets baptized. You know, I think one thing that we've probably... I don't know what's happened, but for some reason, when we call to salvation people to receive and believe in the Lord Jesus, great, but then we're kind of like, baptism. Well, you get baptized on your own time, whenever you feel like it's right. But like, we don't read that in Scripture. We read a lot of the times, like with Lydia, she was baptized right then. With the jailer, he was baptized right then. And keep in mind that it said midnight. So we're talking like 2 a.m. by now. Paul and Silas have wounds, but like they felt the need that right then was the time to get baptized. A very inconvenient time to get baptized. But that's what they felt like. It was like, believe in the Lord Jesus, be baptized. And then his whole house was baptized. He woke up his kids. Get up, getting baptized. Right now, we are believing in the Lord Jesus. And here's what's even more amazing. For the promises for you and your children, when a father of a house is saved, it affects the entire house. The father believes in the Lord Jesus and his house follows. I believe that's true today. When a father is pursuing the Lord, his house is affected by that. We need fathers who are pursuing the Lord. And if you are a father, I'm not yet, but if you are a father pursuing the Lord, you are affecting your house and your generations after you. You're establishing something. This jailer's whole lineage was changed in this moment. It's sad sometimes to hear about fathers who aren't interested in their children. You know, we see it a lot in the youth ministry. It's so heartbreaking to see a teen who's pursuing the Lord, but when they go home, it's not there. And they don't have parents who support it. I just want to cry. How could a teenager change? But I believe that the teenagers affect their parents. I do believe that. But man, it's heartbreaking. Because man, a house, a head that follows the Lord, it's healthy, it's good. It's exciting to see that this jailer was saved. We're going to see this guy in heaven. His whole house, he was saved. The jailer was shaken by their praise. So, last point is that the city was shaken. The city was shaken. Because if you keep on reading, let's read on here. Verse 36. But when it was day, oh man, I've got to finish up. I know I'm going a little late. You guys have to get 5 more minutes. Is that okay? Are we okay? I'm going to close it up. No, not 5 more. 2 more minutes. Okay, we're going. One more minute. Okay, the magistrates say to the police, let those men go. And because they didn't want to deal with them anymore, they're like, we're done with these two guys. Paul said to them, wait a second. They beat us publicly, condemned us. I'm a Roman citizen. He dropped that bomb. I'm a Roman citizen. You threw us into prison, and now you want to get us out of here secretly? He said, no way. Let them come down and take us out. Walk us out. So the magistrates came down. They were afraid. They heard that they were Roman citizens. They came down to apologize to them, took them out, asked them to leave the city, but they didn't even leave the city. They went back to prison to visit Lydia and the brothers and encourage them. Man, the city became shaken. They had the rulers of the city walking with them. You know how big of a deal that was for Christianity in Philippi? Christianity just got legitimized. Like, Lydia and the jailer just got permission to be outspoken about their faith. And we read later that the church of Philippi begins to thrive in face of much opposition. And I think that this was crucial. Paul being bold and saying, no, Christianity has a right. Like, the gospel will be proclaimed. Man. So, in closing, we have to have a habit of praise. And I know maybe you're thinking, oh, like, well, I'm not the most positive person, or I haven't been the most positive person, or that's really hard. I know it's really hard. And I don't have the best track record either. But having a habit of praise comes from the Holy Spirit. See, if it was based off of our habits or our track record of being a good, positive person, we would all fail in the times when we need to be positive. But the good news is that when we accept the presence of God into our lives, naturally what comes out of us is the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That comes out of us naturally. We don't have to try anymore. Because we have the gift of the perfect God inside of us, flowing out of us. These men let the presence of God flow through them. They have an infinite resource of goodness in their hearts. And that's us. That's true for us. Developing a habit of praise means submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit and allowing His presence to come through you in the tough times and in the good times. When we come together in church, we are practicing the ability to let the presence of God come out of us in a setting where a bunch of other believers together, so that when we go out into the world, that's what's going to come out of us. Yeah. So, I feel like there's I have a million things I wanted to say, but I feel like that's good. That if there's one thing we can learn from this story, is that praise is powerful, and it excites. You can really press into it and allow it to flow through you, and it changes the world around you. Changed the jail. The earth was shaken. The jailer was saved. The prisoners were saved, and the city was changed. So I'll just close this in prayer. Tempted to read this psalm, just the end of it here. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy, because the Lord, for He comes. The Lord is coming. He's coming to judge the earth. And God, I thank You, God. I thank You that we're forgiven, Lord. And that Your presence enters our lives, that when it comes out of us, God, it comes out as a praise, and it shakes the world around us, and it excites our spirits, and that we're rejuvenated by it. God, I hope that something I said struck the hearts of somebody in here. If anything, Lord, we're thankful for Your scripture, that it breathed life into us and reminds us of the power of who You are, and that we can walk in that power and authority on earth. I thank You for that, God. Just bless our time of praise. Bless our time of praise. Thank You, Jesus.
Amen. Paul, way to go, Paul. Preaching Paul. You do exhibit it. Paul does exhibit praise, and it's a gift. It really is. So we're going to take communion at this time. If you all would stand up. I was thinking about if our ushers could start passing out the elements. But, you know, we're talking about strange things. So think about this. We're going to take communion. Is that strange? Well, it is if you think about what we're doing. This is strange stuff. You know, the very first time Jesus talked about communion, the people who heard Him talk about it freaked out. Because Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, and my body is the bread of life, and I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, that's paranormal right there. That's paranormal. And it says, the people said, whoa, what is going on here? I mean, I'm just curious. What would you think if I stood up here and said, eat my flesh, drink my blood? It's just
weird.
That's weird. It is weird. And Christianity is strange. It is contrary. But it's supernatural. What we're about to do is supernatural. Participating in the body and blood of Jesus Christ is supernatural. This isn't just a practice that you do. This is the presence of God is in the bread and it is in the juice. Jesus said, this bread represents my body. This is my body. He said it's broken. The reason he said it was broken, he said it's for you. Your body doesn't have to be broken. Most of us don't get this. We understand the blood part. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. When we drink the juice, we know that that means we're participating in the shed blood of Jesus. And because he shed his blood, he died for our sins. We don't have to die for our sins, and we couldn't anyway. We're already condemned to death. We have death in us. Jesus didn't. So he died for our sins. But the body broken was the curse. Sin brought a curse. Jesus broke the curse. His body broken for us. We do not have to be under the curse of sin. This is supernatural. It is truly supernatural. We partake of this because we believe with all of our hearts as we eat the bread and drink the juice that we are participating in that sacrifice. It becomes us, and we accept it, and we accept the forgiveness of our sins, and we accept the healing and the restoration from the curse of sin that we might live the life that God ordained for us. So we're going to share in the elements together, and then we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Does anybody want to bring it up here? Yeah. Anybody need some? So let's take the bread. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Let's eat it. This represents the shed blood of Jesus. Let's drink it together. Now, as a church, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. But I do want to announce we have the right one today. Some of you might know what I'm talking about, but we have the right one. So let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's have our ushers come up. We'll take our offering at this time, and then we'll enter into worship.
Just a couple really obvious things that hit me. The first one is that, remember, the young adult study, we talked about being the workmanship of God, being created by God. Like all of creation, you were meant to praise him with your lifestyle and who you are, and your praise brings him joy. And when you do the things that you love, the joy that you get, when you come in alignment with your purpose as an instrument of God to praise him, you will be filled with the joy. So I just, and if there's people in this room that are thinking, I don't feel it. I really believe that it comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of his presence. And if that's something that you've never had, or something that you had and it hasn't been shaken up in you, I ask you to come get stirred this morning, or to receive the Holy Spirit, because the reality is that we were not, in our sin, are not living a life that's praising God. And it's natural to us in our sin nature to be rebellious against God. And if that's where you are today, and if you're thinking, I just don't have it in me to be filled with praise, I don't feel it, I ask you to come receive the baptism of the presence of God, that you be filled with praise, that you can come in alignment with your purpose as a workmanship of God, and that the earth will be shaken around you.
Let's have our prayer team come up front. We're getting ready to close with our last song. But yeah, I would agree with Paul. I just really sense the Holy Spirit wants to shake some people up. You know, you maybe you've never been shook up with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's get it going. But you know, Paul talks about being filled to people who've already been filled. He talked about being refilled. We use the analogy, sometimes I call it a snow globe. Like it's in there, it's got to get shook up a little bit. I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to shake us up. So if you need some stirring up, also sense this morning some people facing some serious challenges with finances, just really, really feeling the pressure of it. And I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to give you some wisdom and some deliverance. If you need other prayer, we're going to close with our last song. We invite you up. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you personally.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly, your will be done the same. On earth as it is in heaven, let heaven come to earth. As it is in heaven, let heaven. Heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly, your will be done the same. On earth heaven come. Let 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 heaven come.
That concludes our service. We have people ready to pray with you if you need it, so don't hesitate to ask for prayer. I want to remind you that we have our night of worship tonight at 6:30. I'm super pumped about it. It's going to be an awesome time of worshiping God through music and the arts, so I encourage everybody to come out tonight at 6:30. Come out expecting God to do some awesome things. Have a blessed afternoon, and we hope to see you tonight and next week.